This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kinderman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The sermon you'll hear today was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. As you listen today, if you have questions about the sermon, text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. Today, we begin a series titled The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. Generations of American Christians have been trained that their faith should have no say in public and political matters. The problem with this thinking is that if goodness and godliness don't drive public policy, evil and godlessness will. Join us now for this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
Here's the title of a brand new series, The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. Brand new series, it's going to be a short one, I promise. But I need to warn you right up front, it's going to be a hard-hitting series. Something of an oracle God's been building inside of me for a while. Not going to be anything politically correct about what I say in the next few weeks. In fact, today, I'm not going to say anything political at all. Today, I'm going to warn you of a spiritual war that is unfolding in your state. And you say, Sam, I'm really glad about that because Christians should stay out of politics. We should focus completely on evangelizing our neighbors, stay completely apart from what is happening in our nation around us. No, that is not biblically true. Virtually every patriarch in Scripture that we love and admire were not just the spiritual leaders of their day, they were also the political leaders of their day. Noah, Abraham, Lot, Moses, David, Gideon, we could go on and on. And whenever you read in Scripture that some patriarch was sitting at the city gates, they weren't there because that was where the breeze was and that was where they could sit their lawn chair. They were leading their community. That was part of who they were. In fact, we're going to have to obviously ask the question here before we get too far along. Should we have a seat at the city gates? Whatever that means to you, should you have a seat at the city gates? I was asked this last week to be on the canvassing committee of St. Lucie County. I'm not going to do it, but I was asked to be. The canvassing committee, literally, as the ballots go into the machine, and the machine kicks one back out because it thinks it's a false ballot, the canvassing committee looks at the ballot to decide whether it's a false or true ballot. And the person who asked me said, I want pastors to be the canvassing committee of St. Lucie County. Yeah! See? That's standing in the city gates. I'm not the one that's going to do it, but several more pastors are. I may have a crack at it later on. You see, in the center of the Old Testament, when we get to people like Daniel and Nehemiah and Ezra and old Esther after she loses her terrible husband, these people devoted their lives to speaking God's truth into the ears of wickedly pagan people. It's what they did. Well, you say, Sam, thank God Jesus didn't get involved in the politics of his day. Nothing could be further biblically from the truth. Jesus was constantly in the face of the Jewish political leaders. You say, no, Sam, those were the Jewish religious leaders. No, they weren't. Well, yes, they were, but no, they weren't. That's an improper understanding of early Jewish life, the role religious leaders played, and the role our Savior walked right into when he was here on this planet. We'll get back to all of that. But today, we are coming out of the gate with the most serious, consequential subject of them all. It is literally a matter of life and death. If we all took a seat at the city gates and God himself put a list in front of us of the things that were important for us to have influence over, this thing we're going to talk about today would be at the very top of each one of our lists. This literally would be, in my mind, highlighted in red, exclamation marks, top of the list of what's important to Almighty God when it comes to our influence on others. And I'll go to page two. God's extreme love for the human life he created, the human life into which he breathed his divine breath. The second most famous passage in Genesis chapter 1 after in the beginning God created is 26 and 27. God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. And then we jump to chapter 2, verse 7 on the back wall right here. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living nephesh. He became a being, a living being. I spent whole sanctity of life messages in the past defining what it means to have the image of God in us and the stamp of God on our soul and the breath of God in our lungs, not really these lungs, but not the breath of God in elephants or gerbils. The breath of God resides in humans. It is the nephesh. It is the living being. That's not said of any other thing on the planet. We don't have time to get into that subject today, but we live in a society that has, particularly since Darwin's atheistic Origin of the Species, sought to lower the value of human life and elevate the value of animal life, thus putting us all on the same level, defining us all in the same category. But we still know in our gut that can't be true. And biblically, it is absolutely not true. Job 33:2, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. First book in the Old Testament written, and then on into the New Testament. Acts 17:25, he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything because he himself gives men life and breath and everything else. When Jesus was asked about paying taxes, he took a Roman coin, held it up, undoubtedly face first to the people, and said, and I'm rephrasing a little because this is what he was saying, give to Caesar that which has his stamp on its face, and make sure you give to God what has his stamp on its face. What has God's stamp on its face? Right down to the soul. And the answer is humanity. Human beings do not have just relative value like a plant or a pig. They have built-in intrinsic value. They're valuable whether they act like, look like, produce like anyone else believes they should. And our value comes not from what we do. Our value comes from who created us. And the fact that our Creator's image is stamped into our very being, his Spirit's breath fills our every fiber of our being, our intellect, our reasoning. We have a soul, and that soul is powered by the image and breath of God. Do you believe that? Two of you do, and I'm really thankful. Now, the big issue we have to deal with here is, how wide does that human life net spread? Does it extend to life in the womb? If you believe that it extends to life in the womb, how far are you willing to go to protect it? If you're pro-life, what does that mean? And are you willing to sit in the city gates of your sphere of influence and say a very loud and forceful no to those in society who would seek to destroy the life and breath of God in the most innocent of us all, a baby in the womb? These questions are no longer abstract questions. That changed. Every one of us are faced in the next 85 days with what we are going to do about that issue, where we're going to plant our feet on that issue. You have an amendment coming up on your ballot on November 5th where you're going to be forced to state your views on abortion if you vote. And let me say to you, not voting is voting. Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Everybody that watched our 8-part video series this summer, Biblical Citizenship, understands that the reason we've moved so far from the biblical founding is because unrighteous people made bad decisions, and then righteous people were not willing to sit in the city gates and say, no way, not under our watch is that going to happen. Silence is consent. When we say nothing, we're consenting. Amendment 4, you need to know this because so many people yet do not, will literally wipe out all restrictions on abortion in this state and codify into an unchangeable constitutional amendment three things. Number one, the right of every woman in this state to have an abortion right up until the day of birth. It will wipe out parental consent, leaving only parental notification. We'll talk. It will wipe out the restriction of having a real doctor sign off on the abortion. And if anybody tells you that the amendment that's in our state means anything other than that, and they will, they are lying to you. They're not telling you the truth, or they are hopelessly uninformed. So Sue and I, here in the next 30 minutes, we're going to make absolutely certain that nobody in this room, nobody watching on that stream, nobody that's going to listen to this on the radio, nobody can say I wasn't informed. Nobody told me the truth. The deal? Okay. A similar law to this has been passed in 7 states up to this point, the last of which was a fairly conservative Ohio. Exit polling shows that 28% of the people who voted for this kind of a law in Ohio were evangelical Bible-believing Christians. They were deceived. They were duped into believing the law was something other than what it really is. And then they had to wake up one day and realize that they, pro-life Bible-believing Christians, had voted a law into effect that was the exact opposite of their belief system. That all human life is sacred because it has the image of God, the stamp of God, and the breath of God gives it life, and yet they had voted it away because they were duped. Now, let me define that part of it further about life. David famously said in his own journey into this world, Psalm 139:13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Many people use that verse. I have so many times over the last 30 years to say life begins at conception, and probably most or all of us in this room would go there. I've actually moved away from that statement because I don't think it goes far enough. Let me put up here where I actually am. Life only started one time when God breathed life into Adam and Eve. After that, life is only transferred from one set of human beings to another, mom and dad to the kid. The breath of God doesn't keep starting up over and over. God doesn't keep rebreathing his breath into humans. The discussion about whether life starts at conception or after birth is a theologically moot point. Let's go on to this one right here. Only God himself has the power of being, the power of life, and he transferred it one time for all humanity when he started the human race. We simply pass the image of breath of God onto our children through an already alive sperm and an already alive egg, both with the breath of God living in them. You understand my logic here. Now, sperms and eggs left to themselves will never become a human being. But once the live sperm and the live egg unite, a zygote formed has everything it needs to function as a human being, all the genetic material needed for early stages of life and right through to the end of their life is intact and present. In fact, let's say it this way, in God's great plan, a child 5 seconds after conception has all the genetic material they will ever have. All the stages of human development from an embryo to a senior citizen are already completely present. Preborn children are not in the process of becoming human. They are 100% human from the time the egg and sperm unite. You buy that, yes? This picture behind me, it's an AI picture. While that's not the beginning of life, because everything on that screen already has the breath of God in it, it is the conception of a new human being with a loved by God eternal soul. That's critical. Jesus' plan for that zygote in the middle of that picture is that that zygote will become part of the body of Christ, part of his bride, will live and reign with him forever for all eternity. So when at the moment of conception, a soul is eternally linked with God, and this is the part that so matters, eternally linked with God, it's theologically far more important when that soul links than it is perhaps when the heart starts beating. Certainly far more important than when the baby comes down the birth canal. And therein is the root of the problem. The one determined to snuff out the baby in the womb doesn't care a hoot about the soul's connection to God. God is life. God is the author of life. He is the life giver. Satan is the author of death. Famously in John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus speaking about us, his sheep, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief, talking very specifically here about Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. From the moment God created Adam and Eve and elevated them to a position higher in his heart than his archangel Lucifer, from that moment Lucifer rebelled against God. And his number one strategy has always been to take out his hatred for God on God's in his image children. That's always been Satan's plan. And when we start talking about people and organizations funneling hundreds of millions of dollars into this state, which they are doing so right now, for the specific purpose of taking the life of thousands and then millions of babies right up until perhaps the very day of birth, we're talking about pure evil. This is not a political battle I'm talking about today. This is spiritual warfare. This is God taking on Satan. This is a massive battle in the cosmos. And we're part of it, whether we want to be or not. And we must raise our voice. And we must scream, no, not on our watch. Not gonna happen. Not in our state. And we can do that forcefully, each of us, by voting this thing down, out, completely gone. But here's the problem. Only one half of evangelical Christians are even registered to vote. And out of that number, only one half of them actually vote. So one fourth of the Bible-believing Christians in this state, actually the whole nation, one fourth of them are even making their voices heard. And we're told by people who crunch the numbers that if just the other half of those who are registered, not including the half that aren't registered at all, if just the other half of those who are registered would vote and vote their biblical values, that we would control who gets into almost every office in the nation. There are that many of us. Can you imagine if 70% of evangelical Christians actually voted? And this is so critical to the future of our state, maybe the future of our whole country if this thing continues to spread. I've often said that Satan constantly oversteps his skis, and I so pray that's what's happening here. I kind of believe it is. And I have my head kind of into this thing. I've always said God is the most logical being in the universe. Satan is the most illogical. And he is. He always oversteps his skis. He always thinks he's doing it right, destroys things. Do you know that in the country of Russia, a large percentage of all pregnancies are terminated? And the average male lifespan is lower than in the country of Haiti, in Russia. In a huge country that covers 8 time zones, it takes 150 million people just to maintain and secure their borders. Without 150 million people, that country can't exist. That country is now down to 144 million people, 6 million less than it needs to survive. And by the year 2050, it is anticipated that Russia's population will fall between 121 and 101 million people, one-third less than the country needs to survive. If you look that up on Google, it will say it's because of low fertility rates. It's not low fertility rates. You've aborted half of your children. Did you ever hear any news source say that perhaps Russia invaded Ukraine because they're running out of people? They don't have enough human beings to keep their country running. And Ukraine's professed 85% Christian population, both Protestant and Catholic, is a gold mine of young people, a gold mine of producible young people. Abortion rate in Ukraine used to be 109 abortions per 1,000 people. It's down to 14 abortions per 1,000 people since 1976. A vibrant, flourishing country. China has aborted so many female children that there's now 1.9 men to every woman. You'd think somewhere along the line, some smart person would have said, this really isn't a good idea. We're planting the seeds of our own destruction. Their one-child policy went on to 2015. And then somebody said, oops. And they changed it to 2 children per family. Now they're up to 3 children per family. Satan always oversteps his skis. I think it's a great idea. Let's kill off all the kids. You think that's a good idea? All that devaluing of human life comes from one source. God loves life. Satan hates human life, which created in God's image, housing the very breath of God. So here's what we're up against in this state. And I'll talk more next week about the predictable effects of allowing evil to run free in one's country. The Greek Empire actually debated this very subject, and they chose abortion, except for Hippocrates, who the original Hippocratic Oath actually held evil at bay until it didn't, and now that empire's gone. The Roman Empire debated this subject. They chose unlimited abortion. That civilization's gone, nothing left but a few ruins. The Jewish people rejected abortion in favor of God's life-giving laws until they didn't. And when they fell into the trap of sacrificing their children to pagan idols, God had the strongest words to say and severely punished his own chosen children. The early church completely rejected abortion in favor of saving every baby, both living and unborn. They flourished, spreading across the entire world for a while until they took their eye off the ball. We modern Christians have stayed largely silent, and I'm weighing this. I'm thinking about my own life and when I was born in 1972. No, I'm trying to think through, how old was I in 73 when all this stuff happened? I'm thinking, I'm going to talk about it next week.
We pause briefly to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is the first message in a series titled The Truth, The Whole Truth, and Nothing But the Truth. God is the author of life. Our individual lives begin in the womb. We don't have the right to take the life of another innocent human being made in God's image. Abortion is ultimately driven by the one who is an enemy of God and of all life. If you have questions about the message, or you'd like us to pray with you, text us at 772-205-6552, and we'll reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
7 of 9 unelected black robes, January 22, 1973, allowed the 14th Amendment to be used to protect the rights of one group of people, the women, in this country, and wiped out the rights of an entire group of people, the living unborn. And most of us have lived now long enough to watch the toboggan slide of moral values taking our country places we never, ever imagined it was going to go. We look at it and go, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And now we arrive here in our own state. Months ago, probably years ago, extremely well-funded groups whose sole intent was to steal, kill, and destroy. After having success in 7 other states, passing laws that horribly violated the beliefs of millions of Christians, set their sights on Florida. We're the state, after COVID, where everybody wanted to live. And even though everybody was pouring into this state, still are, from much more liberal states than what we are, the politics of our state moved more and more conservative, even during that whole time. And our legislature, our Senate passed laws increasingly protecting the rights of the unborn child. Our governor stood with them and signed them into new law. It was all bolstered by a now 6-1 conservative Supreme Court, who for the first time in my lifetime, my time 52 years living in this state, stood for what most of us think are righteous constitutional things. And that's why we were targeted. We were the prize of all prizes. We are now. Multiplied millions flowed into this state into PACs, the unregulated money controlling modern politics. An army of recruits were hired, paid money, to get enough signatures to get this amendment on our ballot. And unlike a law, please pay attention, unlike a law, a constitutional amendment can never be overturned by another law or by a court case. It is deemed to be the will of the people. The people spoke. The only way you ever overturn a constitutional amendment is with another constitutional amendment. The key for the steal, kill, and destroy PACs would be to get enough signatures to sign it onto the ballot and then enough votes to make it into irreversible law without the people catching on to what horrors they were voting for. How do we know they were pitching a slider? Because of the way the amendment is worded. And now you're going to see it maybe for the very first time here on the screen. I'll lay it out for you. My wife will come up here in just a few moments. You'll be aware in the next 15 minutes. You'll be aware. Here's how it starts. It's only 26 words long. No law shall, and I left my notes in there because that's so important. This is a constitutional amendment we're talking about. It's not something that's going to be passed by legislature that's going to be overturned tomorrow. It's not going to be overturned. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion. Stop right there, and you know what this constitutional amendment's about. That's it, right there. The rest of it is deceptive, trying to make it palatable, but there it is. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion. Now watch what they add. We'll talk about this. Before viability, or when necessary to protect the patient's health, as determined by the patient's health care provider. The end. 26 words. Understand, most constitutional amendments are pages long. Because after the text, then there are pages and pages and pages of definitions. Every word has to be defined, or there's going to be gazillion lawsuits. So they define every single word and make sure that absolutely nobody understands. This has none. This has no pages and pages of definitions. You're looking at the first 26 words. There are 22 words in a second sentence. That's it. It's designed to deceive. It's designed for the people in this state to look at it and not have any idea what they're looking at and just check a box. The second sentence supposedly that's supposed to define it reads like this. This amendment does not change the legislature's authority to require notification to a parent or guardian before a minor has an abortion. That's exactly like a magician doing a trick with one hand and getting you not to notice what's happening with the other hand. Present law doesn't require just notification. It requires consent, parental consent. A parent has to sign and notarize very specific documents 48 hours in advance for a minor to get an abortion. That all just disappears with 22 words with no definition, because every law existing goes down in place of the brand new constitutional amendment. Look here, look here, look here. Don't look over here. Don't look at this hand. Look at this hand. A constitutional amendment overrides every preceding law. They all go away. They don't matter anymore. And in this case, parental consent disappears while simple notification takes its place, a text or an email. Your daughter's having an abortion. Let me show you the text of our law right now. Here it is on the screen, 390.0114. Parental notice of a consent for abortion. Now, I want to show you these three paragraphs. It's a long section. I want to show you these three paragraphs so you understand just how deceptive this thing is. Here's what our present law says. Actual notice means notice that is given directly in person or by telephone to a parent or legal guardian of a minor by a physician, notice that word, at least 48 hours before the inducement or performance of a termination of pregnancy. 2A. Here's part 3. A physician may not perform or induce the termination of a pregnancy of a minor unless the physician has complied with the notice and consent requirements of this section. Here it is. We'll put this on the screen, 5A1. The consenting parent or legal guardian shall provide to the physician a copy of a government-issued proof of identification. The parent or legal guardian shall certify in a signed, dated, and notarized document initialed on each page that he or she consents to the termination of the pregnancy of a minor. The document must include, and then it's long. It's a whole bunch of very detailed stuff. In fact, this whole section is long. But let me say something. That's the law of our state. Every bit of that will go into the wastebasket over 22 words with no definitions in a new constitutional amendment. We are sitting at a tipping point in time that could dramatically change the future of the children in this state. We're sitting at a tipping point in time that could dramatically change the future of some parents in this state. Imagine getting an email saying your daughter's in the process of having an abortion. We are sitting at a tipping point in time that could dramatically change, in my opinion, the favor God seems to be showing our state. And there are pastors who will not bring up any of this that I'm talking about publicly today. There are getting to be more who do. I've heard just in the last month of churches that never talked about this before that now are. Thank you, pastor, if you hear this. But pastors say, and we've had them say it to Sue and I, they say it might bring pain to the woman sitting in the congregation. And man, I get that. I've preached whole parts of sermons about the truth that painful abortions are forgivable and healing. And Jesus has his arms open to you that are sitting in this room that has had an abortion. It's so forgivable. But if we don't talk about it, how much more pain will be caused? If I don't talk about it because I might cause you pain, how much more pain is the next generation going to experience? And to a pastor who isn't quite ready to say anything about the clear and present danger that is hurling our way, I implore you, if you're listening to this on the radio, I implore you, look at the children in your congregation. Some of those kids could be directly affected by this horror show. Look at the parents in your congregation, sitting beside their innocent daughters. Their future heart could be ripped out by some text they receive when they finally get around to reading it, when it's too late. This is evil stuff. This is evil stuff. This is not politics. This is straight from the evil one. He so hates God's in his image beloved children. And if we don't warn our congregations of impending danger, who will? Who will? Peter DeHaan said, we need to be on the lookout and warn people of impending danger. Yes, we do. If not us, who? If not you, who? Who's going to tell them if we don't?
Well, my name is Sue Chess, as most of you know, and I'm the pastor's wife here, but maybe some of you in this audience don't realize that my other life, I am the CEO of CareNet of the Treasure Coast, a medical pregnancy center that comes alongside women facing unplanned pregnancies. I'm also a licensed nurse. I've been doing this for 25 years. So as you can imagine, it has been vitally important for us at CareNet to keep up with the law as it relates to unplanned pregnancies and all that pertains to that, all that pertains to the girls that come and see us. And just like Pastor Sam said, If not us, who? Can we talk about this very, very honestly for just a few minutes, what that paragraph in Amendment 4 means? On your paper, you received a paper as you came in here today that lays out the entire amendment there for you. And here's the way that it starts off, and Sam has covered this part. No law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability or when necessary to protect the patient's health. Sam covered the no law shall prohibit part of this and the fact that it should just stop there, because that's really their number one goal, is to end it there. They just want to have abortion unlimited. But the writers of this amendment knew that that would not fly with most good people who believe that abortion should have some limitations. By and large, most people believe that abortion should have limitations. So let's continue on now to the deceptiveness of this amendment. Let's continue with the word viability. No law shall restrict abortion before viability. Now remember, typically there would be all kinds of definitions, as Sam laid out, following this paragraph to make sure that no mistakes were made about what was meant by viability. But in this case, curiously, there are none. Statute 390.011, section 15 of our actual law reads, viable or viability means the stage of fetal development when the life of the fetus is sustainable outside of the womb through standard medical procedures. However, if this amendment passes, that definition goes away and it is replaced by whatever is convenient. And here's why that's so. Read on. The next text says, no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. And here it is. Or when necessary to protect the patient's health. Those undefined or that comes after the words, or overrides everything that was said before that. That one tiny word. Quite frankly, that word opens up a Pandora's box. And the deception is invited in. How do we know that there's an effort to deceive good people with that tricky word? Because they have done exactly that in all of these states that have passed the law. The very thing has happened repeatedly in other states, and then they've taken it to its furthest extreme after they got the law in. So many Christians in Ohio were horrified at what they had allowed, but then it was too late after they had passed that law. On our amendment for it says, when necessary to protect the patient's health. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? We want to protect the patient's health, right? It sounds very noble. We want to protect the woman's health. And we are thankful for every single state that has tightened their laws on abortion, allowing for an exception if the life of the mother is threatened. Every state, don't let anybody tell you otherwise, every single state allows for exceptions if the life of the mother is threatened. It's logical. If both lives are going to die unless you interfere in the life of the child, then you save one life by ending the life of the child. Not an easy choice. And we have faced some really tough emergencies in states that have tightened their laws as they have worked through all the ramifications of changing these laws. But guys, hear me when I say every state has exceptions. We must get better at how we deal with these, and over time, we are. But back to our present laws. When they speak about protecting a woman's life in our state, they go to great lengths to lay it out. Sam told you, pages and pages of definitions were laid out to describe them all. State Statute 390.0112 defines even what termination of pregnancy during viability means. It requires two physicians to certify in writing that in reasonable medical judgment, the termination of the pregnancy is necessary to save the pregnant mom's life or to avert a serious risk of substantial or irreversible physical impairment of a major bodily function. See how involved and detailed it all is for the pregnant woman. All of that gets wiped out with this new amendment. Folks, all of it gets wiped out in favor of the phrase that says, protect the patient's health. What in the world does that even mean? protect the patient's health, because it doesn't say. Who gets to decide what it means? That's all we're told, because they don't include the definitions, except for this, as decided by the patient's healthcare provider. Well, whew, a healthcare provider. But wait, it didn't say doctor, did it? It said healthcare provider. Now, in order to understand who is a healthcare provider, you have to go back to the laws of our state and look that up. It just so happens that statute 390.001 defines who the healthcare providers are in our state. Healthcare practitioner means any person licensed under chapter 457 to 491. All right, and on the screen are just a few examples of who our state considers healthcare providers. Physicians, they should be. Chiropractors. What else is up there? Athletic trainers, massage therapists, pharmacy owners, pharmacy department managers. And here's a few more that's not even up there. Acupuncturists, dental hygienist, hearing aid specialist. Oh, and here's my favorite. Tattoo artist. Those are all considered healthcare providers. Do you see what they just did in that amendment? They switched out some vital information, didn't they? It helps a whole lot to know who authored this amendment. You want to guess? Planned Parenthood were the author of this amendment. And it goes a long way to explaining one of the reasons it's so deceptively written. The author of the amendment is none other than Planned Parenthood, the largest provider of abortions in our nation. What more is needed for us to understand that a vote no on Amendment 4 is the only option because there are no doctors, there are no definitions, and there is no parent permission.
So in conclusion, Sam, Sue, what should our response be to this? Okay, that's good. Let me give you some more things than that. Number one, you really need to vote. You need to vote. If you've never voted before, I honestly believe you have a moral responsibility to vote in this election. If you despise all the candidates that you're being offered on every other office, leave them blank. I know some of you don't like some of the candidates you're being offered. Leave them blank. But go vote on this one. Fill in this one. If you're not registered to vote, we just happen to have a deputized registrar right here in this church in the form of Cass Everett. She literally can register you legally and carry your registration to the election office. Number two, I'm asking you to do something more. I'm asking every one of you to absorb this material. It's not that hard. You have it in a handout. We got 250 of those printed right now by CareNet. We'll print all you want of those. And we have a number of other resources that are going to become more available. But I'm asking you to absorb it. There's only 5 points in it. You can absorb it. Absorb it and then share it with at least 5 other people who have no idea what Amendment 4 is. And we hear this all the time. We've never heard of Amendment 4. Well, you're gonna hear about it 85 days from now and not know what to do. So it's your responsibility and your responsibility to find 5 people and say, let me explain this to you. And then get them to get 5 more people. If we can get churches all over the state to do this, where everybody's reaching out to 5, and then the next churches are all reaching out too, then we will get the state covered with information about this amendment. Number three, you may or may not have seen the new sign in our front yard out here, brand spanking new. That and 3 more models of that sign designed by Leanne Muscanera sitting right over there in row 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows back. Raise hand. See, you didn't want to be picked out, did you? Leanne designed those signs, and her husband, Kenny, sitting right beside her, right up against the wall there, leading the charge to put signs all up over this 2-county area. More and more signs are being produced right now as we speak. If you want to help with that, let us know. We are having requests pouring in from churches in the area, both Roman Catholic and Protestant, who are wanting these signs in front of their churches. Businesses in this area are saying, we want a sign in front of our business, and if you see one like that, please go to that business. Support that business. That would be very, very important. We have a group of churches in Orlando that have now called down and said, would you please send a team up here to put signs up in front of our churches in Orlando? This last week, Sue and I met with a group of pro-life people that have the billboards on I-95 and on the turnpike. They have 267 billboards in this state. They plan to turn one-fourth, right now, one-fourth of all their billboards into the amendment no on Amendment 4. The opposing side has millions of dollars. One entity gave $300 million. Can you imagine to destroy human life? And they plan to throw this. They plan to throw their money at this. And so if any of you have $1 million or 100 or 10, some of you have heard that we're doing this and have already given several hundred dollars financially to build more signs. We're getting yard signs. We're going to have all kinds of signs as the money comes in. If you're interested in that and giving to signs, we're running all the monies through Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. We have to because of the law. But let me just say one more time, three sentences. This has nothing to do with politics. This is not a political issue here. This is not go vote for your county commissioner. This is spiritual warfare. This is good versus evil. This is God versus Satan. And if we don't speak out loudly, who will? Who will? And if not you, personally, if not you, who? Who's going to get this thing done? Who's going to stop this mess? Unless you and I are the ones that speak out and say, enough. We're not going to do any more of this. Father, you know us in this room well, better than each of us know each other. And this is a huge burden on my heart, God, because it is literally a war with the evil one. And I pray you would put that kind of a burden on the lives of people in this room and then on beyond this room and their neighbors and other churches. You're doing it in Roman Catholic churches now. It's stunning to see the huge outcry that we see happening there. And you're doing it in more and more Protestant churches. It's just people saying, no way, we're not going to do this. We're not going here. And God, I pray that this spread across this whole state. I pray that people like the ones with the billboards out on 95 decide to put not one-fourth of their signs, but half of their signs. Why not? God, you can do mighty, mighty things here. But we personally, there has to be something that builds inside of us that just says, I'm a warrior for Jesus, and my warrior time has come. And if I have to put on my battle armor, my armor of God, and go out there and do something I've never done before, like stop a hideous amendment, I'll do it. Whatever I need to do, God, I'm your soldier. May I feel that way. I already do. May others feel that way. May we together as a church feel that way, soldiers of Jesus. And may we spread that sense across this whole state. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. When those who do not follow Christ do not speak out about such an evil as abortion, that evil will flourish. It destroys the life of the unborn and harms women, men, and culture. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor. The voice you heard in today's sermon was that of Sue Chess, who is the wife of Pastor Sam Chess and the CEO of CareNet Pregnancy Services of the Treasure Coast. Sue also joins us for the discussion.
This sermon was certainly a lot more hard-hitting than some would tend to be, and rightly so. We're going to continue in this theme for a little while, but I just really, really need, please, us to understand that this whole concept of sitting in the city gates, I believe that with every fiber of my being. I was talking to a man yesterday who said his father was a preacher, and he said, my father never voted in his entire life, but then he would spend the 4 years after each vote complaining every day about the administration who'd got into power. And we can't go there. I mean, we're way past the point where we can just say, well, we hope this all works out. Remember the stats, and this is probably a good stat to keep in mind. Only one half of evangelical Christians are even registered
and only half of them actually vote. That means one-fourth of evangelicals even bother to vote. And the reality is, if we voted as evangelical Bible-believing Christians every single election, the candidate most aligned with biblical truths would be in office. That's just the way it is. That's the way the figures work out. So my challenge to you today, my challenge to you as we go further through all of this is, would you be somebody who sits in the city square? Would you be somebody who's willing to speak up, willing to talk about the issues of our day and not be afraid of who cares about what you have to say? So I'm challenging you, and I say these words again. If we don't speak out, who in the world's going to do it? There's nobody out there that's going to take our place. God put us in a position of saying truthful things in a loving way, but we must say truthful things. We do not simply sit behind our church doors and hope it all works out. And I'm just imploring you on this one. This is the time for us to step up. This is the time for those who value human life the way God values human life to say, I'm going to be a warrior. I'm going to be on the front lines. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to stop this evil. This is not a political issue we're discussing. This is a spiritual issue we're discussing. This is the difference between good and evil that we're discussing. I implore you to jump on board what we're talking about.
I'd just like to kind of carry on in the same theme of what Pastor Sam just said, of the fact that this is not something that we can be silent about. My mom is 91 years old, and we had a conversation one day about where were the Christians when Roe versus Wade made abortion legal in all of our nation. And she said, I was one of the people that was not doing anything about it back in those days when I should have been paying attention, but I felt like that all we needed to do was leave that in the politicians' hands because we had our work busy being about the work of the Lord and raising our families. And she said, how did Christians allow that to become the law of the land? I don't know, except that we're watching it again. We're watching in every state that has had life on the ballot that every single time they have voted in favor of allowing abortion to become more available rather than less. And it is as simple as, is this life? If this is life, and no one can say that it's not, it's a scientific fact that this is alive. That's the only way that a sperm and an egg can meet and form a new life, is that they themselves are each alive. And it forms a new life, and that's kind of the bottom line here. If there is a baby, if she is pregnant, if life has begun, if conception has taken place, this is a life. And it's a life to be protected unless God chooses to end the life. Now let me talk about something else that is equally important. We want any mother who has chosen abortion in her background to understand compassionately that we care about you. In fact, a large part of the ministry that I spend my days in at CareNet is caring about the woman who has been wounded by abortion, and not just women, men as well, because we know that it affects both men and women, and it is a painful reality in our world right now. So we know that it requires a woman to know that she is loved, she's cared about, and she has someone that can walk alongside her if she will call CareNet at 772-828-3168. Even if we are not in your area, we can help you find a location that is in your area to find a person to talk with about the choice that you made at any point in your life. We care about you. And Jesus forgives, always forgives, when we come to him in humble repentance for what is in our background. But if there is a situation where a woman is faced with an unplanned pregnancy, she needs to step back and look at it in a bigger picture rather than what is immediately in front of her, and choose life for this child and allow someone else to help her during this time. We're there for you. We care about you. But let's not allow this Amendment 4 to cause abortion to be legal in our state up through birth. It is a terrible thing. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time here today. We thank you that we've been willing to look at hard topics. And if this has been painful for anyone in the process, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would please be with them this day and cause them that they will reach out to you for forgiveness so that healing can be provided. And Lord, save our land, we pray. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening today. We long to help the believer stand for godliness and life. We also long to introduce people to the Creator of all life, who is Jesus. If we can help you with this, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. Victory as a Christian is only possible when we're connected to other believers. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of U.S. 1. For more information, please visit our website. Our pastor has written several books designed to help you grow in your faith. The titles include Unmasking Revelation, Heaven, Spiritual Warfare, Jonah, and Peter. Please go to samchess.com. There you will find a brief overview of each book and a link to Amazon for purchase. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. Will you consider that God calls you to stand for all life? Will you defend the life of the unborn and their mothers and fathers from these things? Please visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
This is Jane Rule from Grace Emmanuel Church. I'm excited to tell you about our WANA program taking place every Wednesday from 6:35 to 8:15 p.m. Awana is a Bible-based discipleship program with a fun mix of games and scripture memorization, providing an enjoyable environment for children while they learn the Word of God. Our program is for children preschool through fifth grade. If you would like more information about Awana, please call our office at 772-489-9696.
Good Country Homestyle Cooking is found at Crossroads Restaurant. Your place for beef and pork roast, chicken and dumplings, fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar. Family owned and operated since 1991, Crossroads Restaurant is open 5:30 to 2:30, Monday through Saturday, and Sunday 7 to 2:30. Takeout orders available. Crossroads Restaurant, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, located on Highway 70 at Posey's Corner, available at 863-763-8333. You won't be disappointed.
Praise is warfare when the enemy is coming against you. Praise is how you fight. God inhabits your praise. Just like God comes in. When praises go up, blessings come down.
Join Pastor Trevor Banks at 7:45 a.m. and p.m. Monday through Friday, right here on WCNO.